I want to talk to you again just for a few minutes today about hope. Easter brings hope. Jesus brings the hope. Last week we had such a phenomenal week together with Monday, Thursday, two Good Friday services, three on Sunday, and then I got on a plane on Wednesday morning and kind of a whirlwind. I took Ryan with me, my son with me on this trip. I've never taken him on a trip with me like that, and it worked out where I could do it and took him. We walked out of the hotel room on Friday morning at about 3:20 a.m. We felt a fresh touch of God on our lives, and it's just amazing how you can go 1,100 miles and be back home in that same day and then afternoon. It just always amazes me. But this thought and this concept of hope has just been on my heart so much. And the Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes a person sick. And if you don't have any hope in your life, if you're living with hopelessness, if you've been just caught up in no hope in your life, God wants to bring that into your life today. And I want to encourage you to hope again, not just to hope and hope, or not just to have, well, I hope this is going to be okay, but to truly to understand that Jesus is the one that brings you and I hope in our life. And it's not automatic. Just because we want it, it doesn't just happen like that. Sometimes our circumstances seem anything but hopeful. They just appear and seem hopeless. But God wants to lift us out of that. He wants you and I to put our hope in Him today, no matter what it is that we're going through. Sometimes we seek the help of others and other things to give us the satisfaction that our life needs. And we come to God and appeal to Him as a last resort. And the Lord wants us to come to Him first. And if we're going through a financial need, we sometimes rack our brain thinking, okay, who can we get cash from? What can we do to get more money? If our problem is relational, we want to call everybody up and get people's opinion and maybe listen to Dr. Phil and see how he's going to help us out. And if nothing else works, then we go to God. But God says, I want you to come to me first, not last. And the psalmist writes this in Psalm 33:16. He says, no king is saved by the size of his army. Listen to this. Look at that. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance despite all its great strength. It cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in a famine. And if you're here today and you're going through a difficult time, if you just sense like you're in a famine, it doesn't matter how big your army is, it doesn't matter how thick your wallet is, but if you don't put your hope in God, you will not see what He wants to do with you and for you. We wait, the Bible goes on to say, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. What is he saying here? He's not saying that you shouldn't have a big army. He's not saying that you shouldn't go to the doctor. You shouldn't go to the banker. You shouldn't go to the counselor. But what he is saying, that when you do all of that, you still have to put your hope in God. He may use a doctor in your life. Thank God for the doctors. He may use a banker in your life. He may use a counselor. But you cannot put your hope in them. You must put your hope in the only source that will give you what you need, and his name is Jesus Christ today. Because it's not the size of the king's army. It's not the size of your wallet or the skill of your doctor or the insight of the counselor. We need all of that. And you know I believe in that. But when your situation is dire, you cannot learn to run to them first. We must go to God first and trust Him with our lives and come to Him and say, Lord, I don't know what to do in this, but my eyes are on you. And I can't guarantee you that even when you do that, that nothing unpleasant or negative will come about, even after you do that. But what I can promise you is when you put your hope in God, even if you're going through a challenging, difficult difficult situation, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll pick your heart up out of the darkest, drabbest place that it's ever been, and he'll put hope in you that you can go through and make tomorrow bright again. And you will never regret putting your hope and putting your trust in him. Isaiah 49, 23 says, "Then you will know that I am the Lord, whose hope is in me will not be disappointed." Look at that. Lamentations 3, 25 says, "The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him." He's good to us when we believe in him. Psalm 147, 11, "The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love." Oh, I love these scriptures. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." He is the only source of our hope. He is the only one that brings you up when you're down. He is the only one, the Bible says, it'll pull your feet out of a mire and set them on a solid rock. We must put our hope in him. I want to just share these five little thoughts with you as we move into this morning. Number one, you got to trust that God is always there. I've already told you that. David said in Psalm 62, 5, "I find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him." And you can't, you must stop praying the prayer, "Oh God, be with me." When you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you have allowed him to come and live inside of you, the scripture says he will never, ever leave you. You could be going through the hardest, most challenging time. You could have the world against you, and God will be with you. He'll be in you. He will never walk out and leave you alone. Isaiah 40, 31 says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they won't pass out." You can't stop. You have to wait on the Lord. You got to trust in him. Secondly, you got to trust in the power of his word. That's what I've already talked to you about that a little bit. The word of God is not just something that we lay on a shelf or throw in the back seat of our car and wait until we're in a dilemma to look at it and try to find something. "What are you saying to me, Lord? Help me with this." The word of God is something David said, "I hid in my heart that I would not sin against God." The word of God is something that you put inside of you, that when you do come up against a challenge, when you do come up against a disappointment, when you do come up against darkness, sickness, or whatever it is, you have a word from God inside of you that will help you through and that will carry you beyond where you're at that point. You got to find a verse, not only for your life, but for your situation. And you can't wait until you get there to have that verse. You got to work on getting it inside of you. 1 John 4:4, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Luke chapter 10, verse 19, God says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." The world, the devil, and everything is coming against you. Some old circumstance, some old thought process is coming against you. You got to have that word of God in your mouth and in your heart. And you can throw your head up. You can cock your shoulders back. You can say, "If God be for me, who can be against me? He's given me the authority to trample on scorpions and serpents and put the enemy under my feet." Romans 8, 37, and all these things, we're not just conquerors. We're not just a conqueror. He says you're more than a conqueror. You're stronger than that. You can make it through that. I'll never forget the story I heard years ago about explaining this verse. When a man, he and his wife, he was a professional boxer. And he went into the ring and he fought. It was 7-8 rounds, and he finally got a knockout. He knocked his opponent out, and they went over. They held his hand up in the air, and then they carried over this big check and handed it to him. He was a conqueror. About a moment later, his wife came up on that ring. She went over. She put her arms around her bloody husband, and she reached and took that check out of his pocket and put it right in her purse. He was a conqueror. She was more than a conqueror. That's what you are. You're more than a conqueror. You're not just a conqueror. You're not just going to overcome. You're going to go above and beyond and overcome even in a more powerful way. If you're sick in your body, Psalm 103:3 says, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Get that word in your mouth. If you're in financial trouble, don't call up everybody trying to get them to give you money. You call up the Lord. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on. Has anybody quoted that verse over their life? And if you haven't, you need to, because he'll come to your side. If you're fearful in your life, Psalm 27:1, the Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I felt this nudging from the Lord this morning. When I was early up and I was praying for this, here's the word that came to me, that someone was going through a season of sadness in their life. And the word of the living God is coming to you today, telling you the Lord is your light and your salvation. You don't have to be afraid. The Lord is the strength of your life. I don't care what's coming against you, who's attacking you. He is with you. He is for you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to lift you up out of that darkness. You might not get out of the situation overnight, but the situation is going to get out of you. You got to trust him. Trust him with the process. This is powerful. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. God has given you the grace to stand, and we access it through faith in Christ. Not because you're good, not because you can do anything good, not because you have any power in your own abilities, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. I love this. But now Paul takes a little twist on it. And he says in verse 3, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. What? You mean being a Christian isn't always walking on flowery beds of ease? You mean if I'm going to trust God with my life, you mean I'm going to have times of suffering? And that's not popular to talk about it. But I want to tell you something about it here in just a moment this morning, that it's not going to make it easier, but it's going to give you the understanding about it. He says, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, look at hope. All of that brings you up to a place of hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our heart through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. I love that. You going through something today? You facing a moment of suffering in your life? Things aren't good. It's not looking the way you hoped it would look. God is going to make you stronger. He's going to make you better. He's going to use that. He's going to turn that situation around in your life. He's going to do something for his glory in your life. Let me read on for just a minute. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless. Look at this. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this one, while we were still sinners. You were away from God. You were bad people. I was reminded when I was sharing this in the first service. I remember when I was in high school. I'm just a bad man now, but I'm saved. I'm a saved bad man. My wife looks at me. She said, "Honey, you're bad." But then I was. That's a good bad. Then I was a bad bad. I remember picking on the kids. They were in Bible clubs in the school. I was terrible to them. I'd smack them on the back of the head. I'd make fun of them. I'd do everything. I mean, I was terrible to them. And the Bible says that when I was ungodly, when I was wretched in who I was, at that very time, Christ didn't just die for them. He died for me when I was in the worst state that I'd ever been in. And that's the same for you today. When you were in the worst state that you had ever been in, the Bible says that God demonstrated his love to you. That's why you and I can have hope today. That even though we once were sinners, now we are born again and we are in love with Christ. We can know that when we were at our worst point, God loved us the most. My goodness. And then he goes on to say, since we have been justified by his blood, how much more should we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And we have to understand that at the end of a bad day, God is still in control. And that he is going to work something great out for you no matter what you are facing today. He goes on again in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassing great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was giving a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. This is the Apostle Paul. I've heard this scripture taught 10,000 times. I've heard people argue about what is the thorn in the flesh. It's, what is it? It's a messenger of Satan to torment me. And what torments you may not torment me. But let me tell you something. God knows what gets under my skin. And the enemy does too. And this, Paul goes on to say, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Three times. I've asked God 3,000 times to take some things away from me. And he just says, get over it. He said, three times I pleaded with the Lord, take it from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Listen to this. This is hope today. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, he goes on to say, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And the premise of this isn't that, oh, I want to go through troubles. I want to go through suffering. I want to just, oh, I'm going to go eat worms and die. No, the premise of this whole scripture is that there is a place of power when we have come to the end of what we can manufacture in our own strength. And Paul, he found that, he experienced that, he stepped through the door of something so great that he said, the only time that I ever feel this level of power and strength from a supernatural source is when I have emptied everything of my own self out, and now he begins to fill me with his power and his grace. Therefore, he says, most gladly will I glory in it, because when I am weak, then God makes me strong. And we can't give up on the process of what he has called us to, because in the middle of the process, he makes us better. He makes us stronger. He'll carry you through. He'll give you hope when you lost all hope. He'll lift you up out of that darkness. He'll make all things work out for good to them that love him. Come on, you ought to be thankful for that this morning. Two more and I'm done. Trust in God's purpose. You got to know the purpose that God has called you to. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You have to know hope is always connected with your destiny. You have to believe God for your future and for what he wants you to do in life. You can't always just engage in what is comfortable with you. Sometimes you got to step out of that so you know that power and understand what the ultimate source of your hope is. And then lastly, and I'm closing on this, trust God for the place that he is going to take you. This is so big and so beautiful. Jesus said in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He goes on to say that where I am, you may be also. My father-in-law used to tell me, he said, Pastor Woodhouse, back when it was the Wesleyan Methodist Church up on West Main, he told me that, my father-in-law, 100 times. He said, Pastor Woodhouse used to tell me, Andy, don't put your roots too deep in this world. You're only passing through. My brothers and my sisters, I want to tell you today that you can be going through a hopeless time, but you have hope at the end of the day that your home is not here. It's in heaven with Jesus Christ. Come on. Come on, put your hands together today. Come on, give God a great praise on that. That's the Lord right there. You can have great hope in God today. And you may be going through something challenging today. I just want you to close your eyes and bow your head with me today. You may be going through a tough time in your life today. God's got your answer. He has got your answer. And again, God's not always in this business of getting you out of things. Oh, God, just get me out of this. If you'll do this. You know how many times I've heard people tell me, if God will get me out of this, I'll do this and I'll do that. And when he got them out of it, they just went and got into something else. God's more interested in getting it out of you than he is getting you out of it. And that's what he wants to do in some heart today, some life. Give you hope like you've never had before. Jesus will bring you hope today. You have to give your life to Christ. If you've never given your heart to Christ, you will never know what real hope is. I want my prayer people to come down, stand with me. I'm going to close in just a moment. But if you've never given your heart to Christ, you need to do that before you leave today. Just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed, just for a minute. Maybe you came in here today and maybe you're away from God. Maybe you gave him your life, but you gave it to him with your mouth, but your actions, you held on to everything. And he says, I haven't forgotten you. I want to help you. That's the beautiful thing about God. He's always there to help you, to encourage you, lift you up, bring you hope. And some are, you're right in the middle of a challenge, a dark time, fearful. I heard that today. Sadness. Somebody's dealing with sadness in their life. God, that's such a tough thing to overcome. But he's going to help you today. I'm going to pray for you. And then if any of those things pertain to you, and you just need somebody to stand with you and believe God with you, I want you to come down here before you leave today. If you want to give your life to Christ, any one of these folks down here can pray with you and help you to receive him as your Lord and your Savior. Spirit of the living God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for each and every person that is here. Oh, Lord, may you bring grace and life and strength. May you bring a deposit of hope into our lives today. We honor you and we thank you for it. I pray blessing. I pray favor. I pray the goodness of the Lord to be upon every single life today. Lord, I pray that for some that are going through the darkest, most difficult challenge of their lives, that you will help them to walk through that same door to find the strength that only you can give. Bless your people, I pray today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.